Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Today's topic is pets. Have you a pet in your house now or out in your yard? Have you had a pet in your life or maybe never? But pets do play an important part in our lives and in our budget. So I was just thinking through the advantages and disadvantages of having a pet, one or more. Well, let's look at the disadvantages first. They do cost money, they cost time, and they do require emotional energy. Related to money, past statistics show that people were spending $73 billion a year related to pets, but the projected amount for this year is $99 billion. It seems that more people want more pets now when they're staying closer to home and continue to spend more money. Of course, first on food, that's the biggest expenditure, probably $35 billion. But then you add on to that the veterinary care. If you're going to take care of that pet, it means a visit to the veterinarian. Some people carry insurance to cover those costs. And then there's all those other things that for some people are really high on the list, like clothing. Yeah, clothing for their pets, toys, leashes, beds, grooming, boarding, pet sitting, and even burial and headstones. So there absolutely are some basic costs, and then beyond that you can add whatever you want. And of course, time in terms of their care. You know, some people who think they don't have time, and my big thing is if you don't have time to take care of your pet, then you need to get rid of that pet because they do require both money and time. So what do you get back from pets? Well, there's a whole long list. But before that, I want to say, what do you think of when you think of pets? Well, I'm guessing that dogs and cats come to the top of your list. But for other people, it may be way different than that. Kids growing up often have gerbils and hamsters, and lots of people have fish and consider those as pets and talk to them just like other animals. What about ferrets? Some people have hedgehogs, hermit crabs. Now we're getting off on that list. They're going, I don't know. Horses should be at near the top of the list. And what about potbelly pigs? And then we go back to the smaller ones, mice and rats. I never thought I'd think of a rat as a pet, but my niece had one, and I even played with it. I can't hardly believe I'm saying that. But it was certainly clean and well-fed and was a lot of fun for her. Monkeys, rabbits, sheep, snakes, spiders. Yep, all of those things are considered pets by some people. And again, I guess if it means something to them and they're taking care of them, whatever that pet is can be a really positive thing in a person's life. There's some pretty good research that says pets really do help make us healthier. And of course, it's somewhat difficult to get that research done. The situations and, you know, all the things that are involved in really good research is somewhat difficult when you're working with animals and people. But the research that has been done shows a very positive reaction in terms of health. It says, again, looking at the people who have participated in these surveys, that people with pets have healthier hearts, stay home, and get less sick less often. They make fewer visits to the doctor. They get more exercise and are less depressed. And, of course, we're hearing, I guess, mostly about dogs, but there are other animals, too, that have significant impacts on people with special needs. Now, as I mentioned, the animals most often used for special needs purposes are dogs, but horses can be on that list. Also, monkeys, parrots, and potbelly pigs. Those are some animals that have been used as companion animals or related to special needs. And usually those animals we call service animals. And service animals are is any animal that is especially trained to perform specialized tasks. They another category are those animals that are emotional support animals, and they may have special training, but they may also not need training. They perform by merely existing. So what are some of those categories where animals can be really, really helpful? The one that you think of first probably is visually impaired. And according to the information I looked at, the dogs who helped people with visual impairment started in the 1920s as a result of helping veterans who had suffered blindness due to World War I. And I'm sure there's a great deal of history related to how all of that developed. But that's one that I think we've, the visually impaired help is one that, you know, we kind of understand, and it's certainly one that has been used often and we've seen. But beyond that, there have been great developments in how animals can help with other disabilities. And one of those would be hearing impaired. And those service animals alert their owners to noises such as alarms and doorbells and, you know, or knocking on the door, any unusual sound, and the dog or other animal would alert the person to that noise. Also, for instance, fire alarms going off or a traffic approaching. So they can be very, they are, if they're good service dogs, are very attentive to all of those sounds and the ability to alert their owner. The next one that I am most aware of is those, and it's very surprising, are those that are help folks with diabetes. And the dog or the service animal, and I think at this point it's mostly dogs, are alerted to chemical changes in their handler's blood sugar. And so they can be an early warning system for that person to know that they need to take some action related to their medication and possibly insulin. Service animals can also help related to other allergies. Allergies in all kinds of things, but probably the one we hear about most is allergy to peanuts. And the service animal can, again, relate to the odor of that food, in this case peanuts, and warn the handler, the person, that that's there. And you'd say, well, we should be able to look and see that there are peanuts. But think about if you go to some places where they're cooking with peanut oil, for instance, that is not visually apparent, but a dog or another animal could smell that and warn the handler. We know that many animals have helped with people with mobility impairment, and the animal, the service animal, can bring objects to the person, press buttons, open doors, open the refrigerator, can help a person in a wheelchair up a ramp, and do all kinds of tasks to help that mobility impaired person. Another area is autistic individuals. The animals can add a sense of security just by being there. They can help reduce isolation because often autistic, especially children, are kind of by themselves. They can be a comfort. And another thing they can do is if, for instance, a child or an adult is lost, has gone somewhere they shouldn't, that animal can help track down that person. Another area is for seizure sufferers. The animal cannot predict the oncoming seizure as they can, for instance, with the diabetes. But they are trained to, for instance, roll a person into proper position so that they can breathe or get their medications. Or they might even go and get the medications and deliver them to the person. And then there's the whole area of emotional support. We've seen often, I think, on TV, or perhaps you know someone who has PTSD, and they're using a dog, but it could be another animal, remember, to help that person get through the stress, to help lower their anxiety and give comfort. So it's animals, pets, are just amazing and can be trained to do all kinds of things to give us all support. But again, we need to think about that if we have an animal, it needs care, and we need to keep the animal healthy and keep ourselves healthy to get that combination going well. So until next time, let's think about those animals that could be helping us out and all the work that they can do for us.